This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world-famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and I'm being joined, as always, by the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
Eddie brought me gifts.
I did.
Look at this.
Yeah.
This man is still wrestling. It's 63 years old. Unbelievable.
This magazine's from 1989.
This man is not still wrestling.
He's dead.
But we still talk about his promos.
Yes.
As wacky as they were.
Yeah, those were from LAX Fan Fest. I went out there on Saturday last week, got to meet a few friends that are familiar and new friends. I met Julia Hart. I met Shaw Guerrero and Vicky were there.
Vicky's the best.
Yeah.
She was at the Flair Roast and, like, she took a beating. Like, just people talking about her pussy. I fell in love with her even after the things I said.
Well, anyway, before I continue about LAX, let me introduce our very special guest,
yes.
AEW's own Pretty Peter Avalon. Welcome to the Comedy Store.
Thank you for having me. I was expecting some saxophone music, but I guess...
We can put that in post.
Our traveling saxophone guy doesn't come usually with me. He's on with the production, sorry.
Oh, okay, all right. We can maybe add it. Tony, we'll add it, right? Yeah, okay, cool. We'll add some saxophone.
My sister plays saxophone. She can record something for you.
Yeah. I'm excited about this.
Oh, good.
I don't usually mark out with our guests. I leave that for Eddie at the Fan Fest. You're hilarious to watch.
Thank you. Thank you. Unintentionally, I'm sure, because I'm not a funny human whatsoever at all.
No.
I'm 100% in there giving the fight of my life if I remember the appointment.
Anyway, getting the Barry job over here from Earl. I go to FanFest to get guests, you know.
I know, you do. Eddie is the brains of this show. I'm like the...
beauty.
Eddie, without Eddie, this show would not be happening. He gets the guests.
Good job. All right.
Well, thank you for the flowers. Thank you.
Ready.
Thank you. Cheers to you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. I recently, while doing research, I have seen your career throughout the years in the indies here. I also saw you here when we did Storecade years ago.
Great show.
But I recently found out while doing some more research that you're half Cuban.
Oye, Cubano.
Cubano.
Si, that's as much Spanish as I know.
It was funny because I at first I'm like, no way. And then I looked at some pictures of you with the wingmen and the open button-up shirt with the with the chain. I'm like, oh, there it is.
You start to see
it. I see it.
You see it. I'm very spicy.
So you've been doing much better now since you've become, I guess, sexier. On television?
I've always been sexy and saucy, but now I get to, like, unleash it, into the masses. When you were, when I was the librarian, I had to be very subtly sexy, so I had to be very reserved, and I didn't like having to leave a lot of the sexiness to Leva, so I took it back, embraced who I am,
You're also a star of the currently paused Being the Elite. I see you there as well.
Absolutely. I love that broadcast, and I, of course, am the star, like you said.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, speaking of Leva, maybe this is a little personal, but when did you guys meet? Because I know her from years ago at Florida Supercon. I used to do those Drunk on Disney parties with Dana Snyder out there, and they would do wrestling, and Leva was, one of the bigger names on there. Where'd you guys meet?
Give me talk about.
Great job, Eddie.
Yeah, it's fine. We have to be candid and real, right?
No,
it's fine.
Leva, you can lie.
You can lie.
A liar is not what I do. Wrestling. This is wrestling. We don't lie in wrestling. With Leva, a year before we actually did the librarian, we joined up as the librarian team. We wrestled at the AWS they were running in Southgate at the time, the alternative wrestling show. They had a real wacky show, a lot of hard hitting matches mixed with. They always tried to do an energy that they tried to do like late 2000s PWG, where it was a very variety show, but very local based. I was in a tag team at the time where we were dancing, stripping, and. Leva and her partner at the time, Delilah Doom, they were a team. I want to say Shimmer. I'm sorry if that's incorrect.
I only know her from Delilah from Doomfly.
Yes. You know, she was in the, she's previously before I think she lived in California. Sorry if I put you on blast. But her and Leva were a team. I forgot what they were called. I'm sorry. But they came out and they acted as us. And they came out and they were dancing and shaking their ass and started doing the moves of P.P. Ray, the my stripping tag team.
That's right, P.P. Ray. That's the first time I ever saw you wrestle was when you were in P.P. Ray.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. they kind of seduced us back into the dark side of shaking our ass and stripping and dancing.
Awesome, man. I also saw while doing research that you trained David Arquette.
I did.
Oh, man. Can you tell me how that happened? Like, did he reach out to you? Like, how did that work out?
Yes, I was suggested to him. He reached out. He left a voicemail because I guess we're still doing that. Thank goodness. I'm a voicemail guy. Please leave me a voicemail because I will not get back to you. I know you was a missed call. It's one of those things like, oh, you missed call. I'll call him back and I'll eliminate the notification.
Never again.
Immediately forget right away.
That's actually my voicemail message. It's like, if you don't leave a message, I won't know you called.
I am a voicemail brother, 100%. So please. But David left me a voicemail. I called him back. He said he wanted to train. And then it was, you know, leading up to that documentary, ultimately, that he released. He wanted to train to get back into it, to gain the respect from the wrestling fans and the wrestling business because of how the WCW title thing went back in the day. Exactly. That's your reaction. Yeah. He didn't want that reaction for him anymore from the fans.
But what do you think that reaction was like? You know, here at that time in WCW, you had like Sting and Flair and all these lifelong wrestlers, Diamond Dallas Page. And I understand why they put the belt on him for Ready to Rumble, you know, Bischoff and his Hollywood, you know.
Right.
But, like, if you're in that locker room, how do you feel about that?
I'm sure at the time it was the most miserable thing because they clearly had a different mindset. But could you imagine had they done that in 2001, 2022 WWE, like they're doing now with Logan Paul?
If Logan Paul beats Roman Reigns?
Right, but like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine if they understand then what they do now with like the Hollywood and the crossover.
Right.
But I'm sure at the time, fuck you. Yeah. How dare you? Yeah, you know? Yeah. What are you thinking? This fucking, and like, he's not in any kind of shape at the time.
Right.
He was skinny, not in any shape. He was like 150. I think young and not any kind of intimidated at the time, wearing just the baggy clothes, they gave him the titles kind of dumb.
Yeah, I wonder and if like, he did any training then.
I think so. He said he did very little. Right. It's one of those things where it's like maybe you train before the show, or you get pulled to the side and showed some things, but never like. The 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 week Glenn Storm course, and you know what I mean, Moriteo or something like that. You know, not a traditional thing. So mine was the most traditional thing he had probably done up until that point.
But you can't learn wrestling in 12 weeks, can you?
There's a lot of these 3 month, 4 month programs that'll teach you the bare minimum wrestling, and then it's up to you if you want to stick around and learn the ins and outs of it, or you go out and you good luck.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, I've seen a lot of people that good luck, and I mean,
they don't go anywhere.
Never see them again.
Yep, you know,
or the guys that stick around and continue beyond the initial 16 weeks.
So it was your idea to put David Arquette against Nick Gage?
No.
Nick Gage?
No.
Yeah, let's get to that. That's a pretty poor matchmaking.
Brother, I until recently had not performed for GCW or any of its affiliates. I did recently a couple LA fights.
Mm.
But until then, up until now, I didn't do anything with them. I knew of them, the deathmatch stuff, great. That's their vibe, cool. It works for them. They had a cool thing going. We were training. I'm not sure where we were at with his training. We were pretty far in because he had been filmed a lot of stuff, and he hit me up that week to train, and he said, "I have a match coming up, it's a hardcore match. I was wanting to see if you can, you know, help me, you know, what about think of some stuff, blah 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 blah." called them back, and we couldn't make it work with my schedule that week and his schedule that week. I'm not sure what I was doing. I'm not sure what he was doing, but whatever. We couldn't do it. I see the matches announced, and I just don't think much of it. I think it's going to be okay, whatever. It'll be a match. I know Nick Gage. I've met him before. I've never worked him, but I've met him. Everyone says he's fine. So I was like, all right, cool. It should be fine. And then when I saw what the match was, I was like, good Lord, Jesus. David, I wish you told me what this was. I didn't like, it wasn't, this is not a hardcore match. This is a death match. When I think hardcore, I think tables, ladders, chairs, you know, the traditional WWF hardcore.
Yeah.
Pans and sheets and cookie sheets.
Trash
and,
can lids.
A kendo stick. Good Lord. You know what I mean? If we're going to get, you know, traditional death match, even like barbed wire, but like. Fuck.
Yeah, light tube to the neck.
Glass
is, not...
is something. Bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I've recently gone to a few XPW shows, and that's pretty much the same vibe. And it's like, oh, this is not hardcore. This is the next level.
There's for sure an appeal to it, and I'm a fan. I don't know if I would ever do it, but I'm a fan of it. And it's been like a gruesome, not a gruesome, but like a weird morbid fascination ever since I discovered like Sick Nick Mondo. Through LimeWire back in the day, you download something that's said it's something else. You download it, and then it's like, oh, it's just a wild CZW clips of this dude throwing other dudes off of a truck outside through glass and tables. And, oh my God! Yeah. And you know Zandig and all these dudes, and it's just I had this just morbid curiosity, which is look for more of it. I was just, oh my fucking God, how much are these guys going to push their bodies? And you find the Japan stuff, like Big Japan, and it's like, oh my God, what's that dude? Crazy Monkey? Jun Kasai?
Jun Kasai, like? Yeah, he's out of hand.
Oh my God, have you seen this guy?
Yeah.
I've seen Schlack. I haven't
Schlack's
seen
out of his fucking he's, mind, too. Yeah. This Jun Kasai dude, you think he does a contact lens, a one-eyes thing, and his body is covered in keloid scars, man. Yeah. Just fucking gruesome, and he's just missing teeth, and he's just fucking...
So
you wouldn't do, like...
I rely too much on my face and body, and I'm pretty. I don't know.
You are. I mean, yeah. As a straight man, I will say you are pretty.
Yeah.
So I have a match for you, though. It's a guy in XPW. His name's Santana Jackson.
I know Santana Jackson.
I could see. No, because you need it. You know, with those deathmatch
cards.
Companies, cards, you need a palate cleanser. And they brought him out. I think he was wrestling the black dude Hurricane or something.
I wasn't
big
there,
black dude, and it was the funny match. And I could see you and Santana Jackson like doing something where
I could. I've done hardcore, and I for sure wrestle Santana Jackson. That'd be fun. I've done hardcore and stuff like that, and I've bled. I've done ladders, chairs, tables. I've jumped off of shit. Been jumped off of shit. I've gone, you know, street fights. I did a match that I fought on top of a roof. I fought through a comic book shop. There was AWS. Early on in my career, I wrestled the Human Tornado for my lightweight championship, the AWS lightweight championship, and anywhere falls, anything goes, no DQ, whatever the hell goes match. And it was right before intermission. And so we're fighting in the ring, we're doing some shit, we spill out of the ring, we're fighting around this parking lot arena in City of Industry right across from the old Frank and Sons. It was this little like cabin on a big ass parking lot. It was this comic book shop and sold wrestling stuff, and the parking lot's packed full of people, and we're fighting, me and Human Tornado beating the shit out of each other. We get to a point where we fight through some barricades into it, boom boom through the fans, boom boom boom. We get to a CRV, a small mini SUV. He's slamming me into it. Boom. He's slamming me into it. Boom. He throws me into the back of it, slams the door, and he's like, gets in the driver's seat and drives off. People kind of chase, like, what the fuck? Cameraman's like, what the fuck? We go off. Intermission. To come back. Beep, 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 beep. The car's coming back. We're coming back from intermission. The car pulls back in. Everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? They all kind of start gathering back. Beep, 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 beep. Everybody, the match is coming back. And then now we've switched. I get out of the driver's seat, and I pull him out of the trunk, and I'm beating the shit out of him. And the fans are, we fight around. We set up a ladder, and we fight to the top of the shop after we did this stupid Canadian destroyer thing on a, like, elementary school chair. So it was like a hard plastic chair. Foolish. It hurt.
Yeah.
And then we went to the roof, fought on the roof. He went to give me his finisher, the D&D. He hooked me up, was going to flip me through. I landed on my feet. He turned around, and I grabbed the stage light, and I shined it in his eyes, and I blinded him, and I rolled him up on the roof, 1, 2, 3.
Nice. Nice. That's a good finish.
Oh, man, we ain't doing nothing crazy off the roof. Fuck you. I ain't jumping.
Yeah, you're not.
You ain't throwing me off.
Joey Janela style off of the roof.
Brother, I'm here to win the match and get paid. That's it. Thank you. All right.
Well, I mean, you're now wrestling, I saw, for New Japan as well.
I'm kicking ass in New Japan.
You're undefeated.
Undefeated.
In New Japan.
Beat the shit out of Adrian Quest.
Nice.
Oh, kicked him. Put on my kick pads, and I said, whack, whack. Brought back the kickboxing training.
What brought you to New Japan?
They gave me the opportunity, and I said, absolutely. Oh. There's that the Forbidden Door, you know what I mean, gets open relatively often between New Japan and AEW, so yeah. I'm glad that... I was able to kind of walk through it a little bit. So I'm scheduled to be there at the next one coming up in, I believe, November.
At the Vermont?
At the Vermont.
It's October something.
Excuse me. And we'll see who will be kicking there.
That's exciting, man. I mean, I've been a fan of New Japan for a very long time, obviously, as you can see. I'm wearing this.
It's no joke.
School, incredible. Canny.
No.
But, you know, it's cool that AEW is working with New Japan. I find that very exciting. I know that... The pay-per-view was supposed to be like the big hurrah, but I like that it's continuing. I like that it's still going. Like, they did it today. I think Juice and Mox had a match. I'm not going to say anything about it. I just know it's Juice and Mox.
That's been announced. So that's all we can
say. Yeah, that's all I can say about it. But, yeah, it's just really cool to see that. And, what are some of your dream matches in New Japan? Is there anybody out there you want to wrestle that's like... been on your hit list?
Oh, man. I guess like all the big dudes were, you know, Okada, Tanahashi, of course. But like, man, I would love to wrestle my dudes, Shane Haste and Bad Dude Tito. They're tearing it up right now in New Japan. I'd love to get in there with them.
Nice. So are you more of a traditionalist in that sense where like you like the old school New Japan, like Okada and Tanahashi and all those? Like, do you fantasize about those matches or are you more... leaning towards what's going on with AEW? I mean, I know you had a match with Danhausen. I mean,
I adapt. I find myself to be kind of an adaptive wrestler. I know a lot of people think I just am kind of a comedy. I'm comedic. I think I'm a good, relatively good actor, and I have comedy chops and timing. So great. I'm not going to get on the stage like you and have a comedy set.
I'm not going to wrestle.
Right. But I think there potentially is that we could swap places potentially, or we could understand how to swap places with how we, you know what I mean? How to put together a match and how to put together a set.
Yeah.
So I think I just end up. The places I end up working, I end up finding a spot that I could be more comedy. When it came to drew me to American TV wrestling was it made me laugh first and foremost. So I was like, I'll be silly. I'll make you laugh because, I mean, I like to be the wrestler that makes you a wrestling fan. I will be your favorite right away. And then when you start watching wrestling more often, realize what it is. It's like, oh, now Kenny Omega is my favorite because he's the champion. I see him more often. But ideally, I'll be the one that kind of hooks you because it's like, oh, this is great. I get exactly what this is. This is fun. Man, you're my favorite wrestler, and I never seen wrestling before. And then once they're a wrestling fan, then they start to discover other wrestlers and all. Like, so I like to wrestle for... the regular person. And when that comes to American TV wrestling, I guess I ended up kind of leaning on comedy because I felt maybe a lot of guys were scared to or didn't want to. And I just kind of felt that I had a niche to do it. I like being able to tweak that with New Japan. And I was trying to be a little bit more aggressive and serious. And you know what I mean?
Are you still doing the pelvic thing? I still did it.
I was trying to do it a little bit different with a more of an aggressive fight to it and a less cartoon character.
More Rick Rude.
More real. and less cartoon character. You know what I mean? I can adjust accordingly to what the style is, but still maintain what Peter Avalon is at the same time. You know, I know where I can elevate comedy and tone it down and things like that. So that's it. If I could put in a match with Danhausen, of course I'm gonna.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna do a different dance. Absolutely, yeah. That's the most. He's cursing me. That's why I keep fucking losing, and he's cursed me to continue losing. But if I'm placed in a platform to fight, then then I guess let's fight, you know? Yeah.
Well, he's cursed you into New Japan, which is good, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I also recently did NWA.
Oh, well, nice. That's right. Yes, I saw that.
Forbidden Doors.
That's awesome, man. NWA, it's another that I'm like blown away that it's still going. Like you were saying, you're blown away Sting's still going. I'm blown away NWA is still going, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched NWA when Nikita Koloff was in it, you know. I just found out he's not from Russia. Like, that's insane to me.
God, kayfabe.
Does it bother you though? Like I put you in that group of like Santino Marella.
No.
Was you know known as oh that's the comedy guy, but you guys are great wrestlers.
No, I appreciate that, and I hope you don't think that I was like let me stop this right.
Not at all.
No, because I appreciate that all. I think Santino Marella is one of the best comedy wrestlers of all time to be in the same category. Absolutely, I love. Colt Cabana's style of comedy. I think he's very funny. Mm. I think his timing on a lot of things is very funny. I think his stand-up's pretty good too. But ooh, his
wow. don't.
I like the way he could tell a story. He makes me laugh. I also like Kikutaru. Kikutaru is the funniest wrestler of all time to me.
Funnier than Santana Jackson.
Dude, yes,
he wears
absolutely.
A giant head of like a old school. Like a he looks like a doll.
Kikutaru is he's the best. Incredible. He's the funniest wrestler of all time.
He makes me so happy.
yes, absolutely. He makes me grin the entire match. And he's good at adapting too, but also making you laugh. Like he has, if you can find it, I can never remember the damn PWG DVD, but it's Necro Butcher versus Kikutaru.
Really?
Yes, it's fucking incredible. It is so funny, and it's a Necro Butcher brawl and a Kikutaru comedy match as one. It's so good. It's so fucking good. Kiku's hyped. He's hyped. He's like, all right, we're gonna fight. Necro's like, all right. They do the chair thing. Set up the chair, sit down across from each other. Come on. He punches Necro. Come on. Kiku gets punched once. Out. He's just out. It's just, it's so good. He's the king, man.
For more casual fans, if you're bored and you want to know who Kikutaro is, there is videos of Kikutaro and Asuka making takoyaki somewhere.
Yes, please.
So if you want to do that, watch that. He's awesome.
Please do.
You know, I wanted to mention what you were saying, guys being afraid of doing comedy. You know, maybe this is too much inside baseball, but like I do know that a lot of wrestlers don't have that confidence. They don't have they have a lot of anxiety. So being out there and trying to be funny, I guess, you know, it's hard. It's not easy. You know, obviously comedy is a very hard thing to do.
Absolutely.
Well, so, I think it's the risk of embarrassment.
Like, yeah.
I think it's that. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
If you had a different.
You can kick my ass.
If you had a different.
Do whatever you want.
I think it's also the risk of embarrassment, but it's also, I think, when people think like, oh, this is a ha-ha moment or something has to be this. It's like, they're kind of afraid of the laugh or they feel they have to try to get the laugh as opposed to like, you just get a laugh.
Right.
Let me not try to get the laugh. I just get the laugh. And when they say people try to do something and just get a laugh, it's like, oh no, that wasn't the reaction I wanted.
Yeah, you get the bomb.
They don't know how to embrace it. You know what I mean? And it's like, fucking embrace it, bro.
Like when they made Lance Storm actually a humor character when he was so boring, that they had him go out there, and if I can be serious for just a moment, like they turned his weakness, lack of mic skills, into a strength, and it was funny to me.
I loved that because he was like, if I could be serious for a minute, and he would just get eaten up, boo.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like, fuck yeah. Then he'd go out there and kick ass. Sick drop kick.
Oh my God. He's technically.
Yeah. What a legend.
Yeah, man. I wanted to touch on you mentioned, you know, that Danhausen cursed you to lose, but you know, you're starting AEW. You're from day one, right?
I'm day one. Dynamite since day one.
Day one. And, but you were known as the longest losing streak. Now, how does that, like, did they pitch that idea to you from the beginning, or did it just, like, once you were like, hey, I've lost like 10 times in a row, can we turn this into a thing?
I think it just happened. I don't know if there was a plan, but I think it just happened because me and Brandon just kind of had the same loss.
Yeah.
Win-loss record of zero and whatever the fuck. I think if you go back and look, I think he always had one or two less than I did.
Mm.
So I always had the bigger record, but then he got the first wins. I was like, son of a bitch.
Well, but you know, now you're number one at losing? Is that still, that's a good thing.
I have a couple wins now. I have a couple wins now.
That's true.
But that was fun, man. I think it was, I honestly think it probably was written, from what I could tell, was kind of written as we went on the maybe week per week or every couple so weeks, or maybe they had an idea and I just kind of found out about it closer to the time we were filming it. I don't know, but it was fun. It was very creative on that. I got to be creative and really contribute a lot to it, especially during the pandemic.
Oh yeah.
Cause like It started, I think, really as a way to kind of keep us all busy during the pandemic, because, like, we did the show at the Bucks compound, where it's like we actually went to...
Oh, yeah, the Reseda?
Went to the house in...
Or not Reseda.
The High Desert.
Yeah, Cucamonga.
Victorville.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Boy.
And it was fun, and I think that's where we started. Like, I went to Brandon's door and laughed in his face, and then we just started kept doing bits, and it was just kind of, how can we kind of keep this going on our own? And then we turned it into The Matches on Dark.
Hey, man, and it was, you know, props to you, because there's other people that you know, the jobbers that lose all the time that don't do anything with it. They just leave, their career just dissipates.
We, at the time, made Dark something to watch, because it's a... I think people picked up on it's a pad your number show. And then it's like, oh, no, well, this is not just a pad your number show. This entire bit is about trying to pad their fucking win column. And it's, so it's like, oh, this, it's so much more to it, you know? Yeah. So it was fun. And people were, to read the comments were fun. When the no DQ and the double count out and all that stuff, it was like, all right, they like it. They're liking this. They're liking this.
I also wanted to bring up that I saw it on our buddy CVV, Chris Van Vliet, who was on the show. I saw you guys talking, and he mentioned that you came up with Ass Boys.
Yeah.
Basically.
Ass Boy. Yeah.
And, you know,
I just bought the t-shirt.
Oh, great.
I haven't gotten it yet.
It's all right. I won't get my cut. It's okay. I don't.
Welcome to comedy, bro.
Oh, brother, I get it.
You come up with the idea, you get cut out of the profits.
I did. It was on a whim when I was able to still, like, cut a promo before my match as the librarian, and I called Billy Gunn, alluding to, was it the Ass Man? And I was like, you know, Gunn and Son, are you Ass Boy? It got Ass Boy chants going throughout the match when he's in there with Sean Spears and everything, and it was funny. Those fans, man, the fans just made it happen. That's it.
I mean, it's gonna be a tough t-shirt to wear, like, because it's bright pink lettering, scissor me daddy ass.
Yeah.
And I live in West Hollywood, like,
it's gonna be over and fine. And fine.
Yeah. I might not make it out of there alive.
Yeah, you're what, you're in your 50s?
I'm around the same age as Billy Gunn, so yeah. He looks a lot better than I do, but...
Well, you know, maybe it's time to live the next 20, you know.
If you scissor ass,
yeah,
or whatever,
you
then you'll look like Billy Gunn.
I mean, I don't think I could ever look. He looks amazing for his for any age.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
Is that inspiring to you guys to see, like, some of the older guys in AEW, Sting, you know, and I guess Billy Gunn would be the two oldest guys? Like,
yeah, absolutely. To see them still going at it and looking good while doing it, too. It's like, okay, good. You know, there's a... That means it's only going to get better for us, too, because, like, recovery's gotten better, and health and medicine and yada, yada, yada has all gotten better, ideally, if you're using it, you know?
Yeah, because there was a point when Sting got destroyed by Seth Rollins where he had to go away for a while that I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
No more.
Well, I don't know if I would have put him in a spot giving him two buckle bombs. I mean, you know,
and look, and I'm not throwing any shade at Seth Rollins. He did that to Sting. He also did that. He ruined Finn Balor's entire thing. Like, Finn Balor became Universal Champ. He was the very first one. And then because of an injury he sustained with Seth, they had to take the belt from him. So I'm not saying he's an unsafe worker. I'm just saying, like,
wrestling's rough.
He broke John Cena's nose.
He broke John Cena's nose. Like,
when you do a comedy match, because that is the perfect segue to a question I had for you, is it harder to be safe? Because, like, when you took the spot for Morrissey, that's a big, big man. And, you know, obviously, I'm sure you've discussed the spot with him. I don't mean...
There's a risk to anything. It's dangerous if you're going in there and having a fight, or it's dangerous if you're going in there and you're not, and you're having something that's more of a slapstick. Johnny Knoxville with the fucking trap, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, you can wake up and step out of bed and sprain your ankle. So it's like, it really, most of the injuries come from kind of dumb shit. Like, all my injuries have come from kind of stuff that's like, yeah, it's whatever. Like, I think the one I could think of that was like a weird spot, kind of wacky out of the corner that went bad, is I fractured my hand and break it completely. Someone landed on top of my hand because there was a mistiming at something that was wacky out of a corner. But most stuff is just kind of like you slipped the wrong way, or something you've done a million times, and just that one fucking day the rope was loose, or, you know, like, I was doing a split-legged moonsault for a minute as something, you know, hitting it out of the corner, the RVD one, just on the top, boom, boom. And I was hitting it clean every time. Doing it at AEW a couple times, So I felt good. I felt confident. And then I just kind of stopped doing it for a little bit. And then I was like, oh, I should probably, let me do it again. I was like, yeah, let me try it first. Let me go and practice it at training. So I went to a ring nearby in Burbank, and I tried it. And something about the ring, maybe a loose rope or just me not getting a good spring or something. And I hyperextended my my knee, and I was out with a partially torn ACL, something I did a million times, and I hyperextended it the one time, you know.
Is that the gnarliest injury you've gotten?
I've broken my arm here, which I had to have surgery to put a metal plate in, and I had the metal plate out. It's now on my keys.
It's on your keys?
It's on my keys. I don't have my keys on me. They're in my bag. I'll show you guys.
Did you set off when you went to the airport?
No, I thought I would, but none of that ever happened. So Pete and Pete was ruined for me with the plate in her head. That one sucked because that was very early on in my wrestling career. I broke my arm in the practice match where after I had the match, they were like, Pete, good job, man. I think we could probably start getting you on shows. I was like, there's no way. Nope, ooh, we cannot. You know, and then they put me in the hospital there. I broke my hand for that hand fracture, and then I broke my face. So I've had facial reconstructive surgery.
Really?
Yeah. Tag match at bar wrestling.
Was it like the orbital or? Like
it was the zygomatic process right here, which is like a bridge. There's like a hole that goes through. Me and Ray were wrestling Crime Time. And Chad Gaspard popped me up for a pop-up punch to the face. And just he's a big dude, big strong man. And he popped me real good. And he broke my face. We finished the match. And I thought I was fine. I've been punched in the face. I was like, nah, man, we're cool. It's just it's swollen. He's like, are you sure? I'll take you to the hospital. Are you sure? Are you sure? And I was like, bro, I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay. I think I'm just swollen. I've been punched before. He's like, are you sure? Okay. Let me know. Please let me know. I mean, loving, genuinely concerned about me. And I was just like, I'm okay, man. I'll be good. Swelling eventually went away. 2 weeks later, I did another fucking tag match. And I was like, hey, guys, my face is broken. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow, so let's be careful. Did the match. I was fine. Next day, I went and had a x-rays and everything, and they confirmed my face was broken. Had surgery to pop the bone out, and I had a little cast on my face here for a little bit.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Yeesh. They make you wear that weird thing that Brandon wears?
They just told me to stay the hell out of the ring, so I did.
All right. Yeah.
Is it harder to do a comedy match with a bigger guy just because
I much prefer the David and Goliath. It's fun doing David and Goliath anything, whether it's good guy, bad guy, whatever way. You know what I mean? It's fun. I just like that old school
style. 80s style.
Yeah, it's an easy story to tell.
I have three quick things, and then we got to jump into the stories and our topic for the week. But number one, your favorite match that you've had so far.
Of mine?
Yes.
Fuck, well, I don't. Why am I never
ready for this?
This shit, man? I want to say my match with Sunny Kiss I think it was either Fight for the Fallen. My first one at AEW because the energy was beautiful. When we went to the back, Tony's energy was beautiful. The energy of everybody in the back was also beautiful for us. And just the booze that I was getting as my first appearance as a librarian to wrestle was so...
There's nothing more heelish than...
Oh, man, they ate it up. It was so good. So good. I loved it.
Do you like it when you hear booze when you're playing the bad guy?
Especially because we hadn't done anything yet as that character. We had like maybe one or two promos and a couple things on BTE. So for just and we had no music. They were like, oh, yeah, you guys have no music as librarians. Okay, cool. So we come out to silence. And our screen comes up and it just says, shh, quiet in the library. And they just naturally, you tell them to shut up. So they boo. Here we come strutting out. And it just picks up. Walk to the ring. Ultimately work to the first shush, and as I'm doing it, they're just booing the hell out of me. And it's just, I was like, fuck yeah, this is dope. It felt so good.
All right, second, let's go back in time to tiny PPA.
Tiny PP.
Oh. What was the very first match wrestling that you saw that you said, I want to do that?
Oh. It made me like it and made me want to do that.
Made
me like it was, I think it was, I can't remember the match, but it was an Undertaker Steve Austin match. I told some friends, hey, turn it back. What is that? I like that. It's silly. I want to see it. Dead Man Find a Redneck. Oh, it's just hilarious. What it made me laugh. Wrestling made me laugh first. It made me laugh first.
Nice.
But that made me actually think that I could do it. You know what? I couldn't tell you the match, but I could tell you like a lot of the people. because it was on. It was PWG finally being able to see indie wrestling live. I had gone to some WWE shows when I was like 16, 17, but I was sitting far back. So when you see them, it's like, hey, you can tell they're big. You can tell they're big. It's like, that's what I expect from TV. But then like to go to PWG and Reseda when I was still there, and I see guys like Jack Evans and the people that made me, I went, wanted to see were that I had seen on TNA when I first started watching. It's like, oh, they're appearing live near, relatively nearby, like an hour away, I'll go. So it was to see Sabin and Shelley, and then to see them also in person, and they're not very tall, they're not very big. All the guys in the show, all the local guys, it was like Scott Lost and I think Scorpio Sky, and then Young Bucks were not on these shows yet. I think Jack Evans was on this show, and he was rail thin at the time, not the beef, not the beefcake that he is now. I don't think Excalibur was wrestling, but Quicksilver was still wrestling, so it was like classic. El Generico, I think, was on it when he was not who he is now. So all these guys were like smaller dudes, and to like see them walk past me as I was just this skinny 17-year-old little kid, just like, yeah, I could, fuck yeah, I could,
yeah,
why couldn't I? Absolutely, I could do this. Fuck yeah,
yeah, that's kind of how I felt when I started meeting wrestlers. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm bigger than you, what? Like, what the fuck? All right, and then finally, the last thing I want to talk or ask you, if you could share, as I know you've worked with Brody Lee back in WWE, you worked with him as, you know, when they were the Bludgeon Brothers and whatnot, and then also, obviously, in the AEW. Do you have any really cool anecdotes about Brody? We're big fans, and, you know.
We bonded over Kane.
Kane.
He was really nice to me. This was WWE, what it was stressful for a lot of the extras, you know what I mean? Everyone was kind of on their toes and apprehensive, and that energy spreads to the rest of the extras. So it's just like trying to get them to like get chill. It's like, okay, everyone's just kind of apprehensive. I guess we're just sitting here apprehensive. So they tell me and Fidel Bravo that we're going to be wrestling the Bludgeon Brothers, and we're all like, okay, dope, cool. Those big boys. We know exactly what this is. It's a TV. TV enhancement match, real easy, whatever. We put on our gear. We go meet them, and they kind of, you know, they tell us what they're gonna do. It's very easy, and then eventually we meet back up. And as we're kind of like waiting for the match, you know, eventually into gorilla positions, just like that. Brody's just really friendly. He had no reason to be friendly. Maybe he knew that we had mutual friends because of the indies and stuff like that. I don't know for sure, but he was just very, just nice and friendly, like we were pals.
Nice.
You know, I can't remember. I think I started it. I said something about his gear, and I was like, oh, like your gear's dope right here. It reminds me like of Kane. And he goes, yeah, man, that's exactly what I asked for. And he starts telling me about Kane. I was like, oh, bro, I love Kane. And then he starts telling me about Kane. And we just start bonding over Kane. And we just kind of kept talking and chatting. And I was just like, hey, he made me feel good, because clearly we're all nervous to go out there and get fucking beat up in front of all these people.
Yeah.
But he made it real. He calmed us down. Come time for Eric was also very nice. He was just very quiet. But he wasn't not a dickhead by any means. He's cool. But then we go out there and we felt good about the match, because like they made us feel very, very comfortable.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, you know?
I've heard nothing but good things about Brody.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude.
All right, so let's get into our top stories. You are more than welcome to chime in if you are able to, if you would like to. We're going to touch a little bit about, you know, everything that's going on. First story that I got. The genius marketing that is going on over at WWE with this whole White Rabbit nonsense. You know, it's hard to break away from the internet because, you know, this is like the biggest story, the White Rabbit thing. But they haven't mentioned it on television at all. It hasn't been spoken about. This is all word of mouth. This is all during commercial break. They play the song White Rabbit. And there's like little QR codes in the background when they're doing their little skits. I think it's fucking genius, because they know exactly that the internet's just going to go crazy about it. They're going to do the scavenger hunt. They're going to go wild. So I don't know. I wanted to.
When did The Matrix come out?
Oh, man. The newest one, you mean?
Which one?
No.
The original?
OG. Come on.
Early 90s.
99.
Yeah.
I want to say 99. Because I think it was like was like a millennium Y2K.
Right. Yeah, we were supposed to freak out thinking the end of the world was coming.
Yeah. So it's like, it's funny that the follow the white rabbit thing so many years later is so talked about.
It's still talked about.
It's so talked about.
We had Paul London in here last week, and I was like, is it you?
Who knows?
Man. Who knows? Is it you? Because, you know, people forgot that he was doing that in the Lucha Underground. But
I do have a rabbit. I own a rabbit.
You own a rabbit?
Maybe it's you.
Is it you?
Maybe you're jumping ship.
He's called Otter Color. So he's black, brown, and white. Not completely white. Sorry, guys. It's not me.
Damn. So I'm assuming that I wanted to ask you, actually, specifically, because you're not on the internet like that.
I'm on other sites. Yeah, I'm not on Dave Meltzer's blog.
Right, right.
But, you know, this whole QR thing and everything happening outside of television, I mean, is it affecting you? Because you don't really follow that.
I'm an AEW mark. I have no shame in admitting to that. It is making me curious. You know, I'll turn into the other company every now and then to see what's this white rabbit thing about. But to me, it's too obvious to me. But is it?
Because, like I said, it's not
me
on
it is.
It's not on TV at all. This is all a matter of Twitter speak and people on Twitter assuming. And so, like, the newest one that happened last week on Monday, I think it was, there was a QR code. That took you to a TikTok video. That TikTok video took you to a record company, White Rabbit Records, and then that company's YouTube page had a video with a zip code, and that zip code takes you to Windham, Maine, which Windham is Bray's name. So I think it's a bit much. I think it's a lot of work to do. Thankfully, the internet sleuths do the work for me, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's genius because, like I said, it's working. It's trending. It's doing its thing. But is it too much?
I mean, I know they did that. And then Alexa came out next. I'm really and I know you can't say it, so this is one of those things where, hey, is there anything you don't want me to talk about? I'm still holding out that Mr. Wyatt goes to Mr. Avalon's company because I want to see fresh matches. I would love to see something maybe with you know, Harper and some of the other talent, and, you know, maybe Wardlow and our comedy match with you. I just think that WWE, and you don't have to comment on this, it's a little stale for me. So, which is why I like AEW. The matches, there's a fresh two or three matches every week on either Dynamite or Renegade. And
Rampage? Renegade.
A Renegade. Sorry. I'm looking at the Ultimate Warrior right
all
there.
Right.
But so I'm still hoping, because I think it would be such an amazing coup for Tony Khan to, like, okay, you guys all think he's going there? Guess what? I just signed him for 4 years.
Renegade is a good name for an AEW pay-per-view, by the way. I'm just saying.
No, maybe this will be like Ass Boy. I just gave Tony Khan an idea, and I'm not going to get any money. So I don't know. I mean, it is. I will say I think wrestling is always better when there's competition, and you know, AEW is stepping it up recently. WWE's, you know, getting me to at least tune in for a couple minutes now to see, okay, what are they doing with, you know, MJF's back? What are they going to do?
It's like, you know, Monday night, the night.
The war.
The old school wars. Yeah.
How is it for someone like you who's in the middle of, not the Monday Night Wars, but whatever you want to call the new
Wednesday Night Wars?
The Wednesday night. I don't know.
No, it doesn't affect me because I watch TV on my schedule. I'll go and find it when I watch it when I can. You know what I mean? I can't watch it on TV because I don't have normal TV. I live in LA, guys. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't have TV either, man.
On Mondays.
I won't reveal how I watch live television, but I don't have cable.
I have DirecTV. Like,
damn, mate.
Can't get DirecTV?
You know, hey, man, you know?
No, I don't. No.
I'm not paying a company to. No.
But, like, is it fun for you to be in, like, the resurgence of the wars?
Totally. Yeah. That, in that sense, fuck yeah. It's cool. You're in the middle of the crossfire.
And you're all elite, right? You got the graphic.
Yeah, I'm all elite. I mean,
you got the graphic and everything.
Oh, man. Since day one. Dynamin since day one.
All right.
It is. Put some respect on the librarian's name.
All right. Well, the next two stories are AEW related. This one you weren't involved in it, but, you know, comment as you like. We're still talking about the Fallout, Brawl Out from All Out nonsense.
That's pretty good. Fallout, right? Brawl Out.
But I do have some new observations from what the internet folks, and I've been told that I need to start giving credit where credit is due, because I tell stories and then I don't credit. So I'm going to start crediting. Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez has said that things are starting to kind of cool off, you know, and to quote, the Punk side has backed off of the whole kicking the door down thing. And the only disagreement at this point is whether or not the Bucks were aggressive. Punk side admitted that he did throw the first punch. However, they're wondering if it was for his safety or just because he wanted to punch people. And then Wade Keller of PW Torch said, everything is pointing in the direction of AEW buying Punk's contract out, so don't expect to see him in AEW again. I don't know. Wade Keller, I stopped listening to his podcast a while ago because he's very opinionated. But it's just all very, you know, I'm kind of, let's move on. Like, I'm at that point now. This has been going on. When was All Out again?
See, that's my point. Is I think it's, and I certainly don't want to make you uncomfortable, I think it's been good for AEW because it's, can you tell me one thing that's going on in WWE the last few weeks? You can't really, because it's like we're still trying to play detective and, you know, with the dog in the next room. You know, I hear that Omega went in there to save the dog.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a good story.
If it's true, this is what I've been telling people. If that is true, that Kenny went in there to save the dog, how can you hate that? You know, the guy went to save an animal. Like, that's something I would do.
You think Michael Vick would have done that? Michael Vick probably would have pushed the dog in the middle of the fray.
Yeah, man.
Get out of town, Vick.
But anyway, I'm hoping that all this shit gets resolved soon. It doesn't look good on anyone's part, I don't think. Like, you know, the fans that say this is a work, I don't buy it. I don't think it's a work. I think it sucks, and I think that we need to move on.
Let me tell you. Brian Alvarez sent me a DM.
Oh, did he?
Not too long ago, he said, I thought I did great on New Japan Strong, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's all I got to say about about everything we talked about is I did great on New Japan Strong, so.
Undefeated.
AEW superstar, Pretty Peter Avalon on New Japan Strong.
See, that's a good way to divert.
Yeah, buddy.
See what he did there?
All day.
That's a pro's pro.
Big man. Biggest man at pro wrestling.
No, for real. I mean, I'm ready to move past it. Like you said, though, it is, you know, if it is a work, it's working because it's trending every week. You can't pull up Twitter without seeing Punk or EVPs or some shit like that. I'm just, as a fan and as someone who knows some of the guys, I'm ready to move past this at this point.
I mean, it's probably reached its peak of the news cycle. And, you know, but I think, you know, if Punk is actually legitimately injured,
yeah,
which he probably is.
Yeah, that's actually a new thing that today or yesterday, a picture popped of Punk with a arm brace. So he's definitely injured.
Then this actually works almost in everyone's favor, where you say he'll never be here again. 9 months later comes and he, you know, pops up from the ring or whatever. Like, so it, there's not a lot of negative here. In my opinion, you know, I'm more mad at the Omega Ospreay like thing.
Yeah,
like that's
he wanted more Ospreay because he really enjoyed the Ospreay Omega interaction.
It's maybe a question for you. I'm not. You build up this heat between these two guys, and you know, I got the feeling some of it was real. Like, you know, Omega probably looks at Ospreay as, hey, that's the younger version of me. You know, so there's that kind of heat. And when Ospreay called him fat, the worst thing, and I know you know this, you've been in gyms your whole life, the worst thing you can do is call someone who values what their body looks like fat. So you saw Omega's eyes kind of like, and then Omega started going, you'll never do what I did. I lost to Okada, but I also beat him. And you could tell that kind of irked Ospreay. So it's like, this is a great build. And then they just drop it. Like, I don't, that's my only complaint. I know you can't, like.
Maybe they go back to it. Who knows?
Yeah, hey, you know.
You never know. Maybe they do it in New Japan. I don't know anything. They're probably not doing a damn thing. they do it in the WWE. Hey, I don't know. You know what I mean?
I'd pay large sums of money to see Ospreay and Omega at Wrestle Kingdom.
That's what I mean. If they're doing a lot of this stuff organically, is of course it's the young guy, the young buck is teasing the old bull. It's tradition. It's old school boxing. It's old school MMA. Mm-hmm. So I like it.
Do you think that my favorite angles always are when there's a little bit of reality in them.
Is it them or is it even Tony? Or is it like maybe they want a bigger payday before that match happens and they just keep hyping it. It's like an old school boxing thing. So you want to see the fight happen? I need to hire a...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Who knows? It's business, baby.
Maybe they're pushing it to the next Forbidden Door. Ooh, because they're going to do another one.
Man. I mean, hey.
Money.
You know, I just wish sometimes the storylines were... I understand Ospreay had to go back to Japan at some point. I didn't expect to see him on Rampage, you know, doing something wacky. But I just wish there would have been like a... like an update of sorts, you know, like they did the same thing with Jay White, where great debut, he's great bad guy, and great body, and great on the mic, he's great. I saw him at that show you took me to.
Yeah, with the Vermont as well.
And then he just kind of disappeared. Like, hey, man, I got to go back to Japan. You guys aren't good enough. There's something yet. Am I wrong, Avalon?
There's two different worlds. There's Japan and the U.S., and you know what I mean? They gotta go back to them. I don't know.
Yeah, he's right in the middle of it, too, because he's in New Japan now,
right,
too.
Right, no, I love New Japan. He took me to my first ever match at where you're going to be, and I was amazed that, like, it's like a little more realistic than, I guess, American wrestling, like television wrestling, so I kind of like that. And
like a true fight, you're going to go where the money is.
Question. Okay. No, this kind of came out of nowhere just now because he mentioned realistic. Bloodsport. Is that something you would ever do?
So I've never done the Bloodsport show, but I've done that style. I've wrestled, Santino Brothers had a submission title for a little bit, and I never won it, but I competed for it, I think, once or twice. And it was pretty much, they had their own rules. I forgot what the fucking rules were, but it was pancrase, pretty much.
Oh,
you know, open hand,
rude.
Open ham, wow, wow, wow. And like, you know, no kicks to the head, no this to the head, no this to the head when they're at them. So a lot of the stuff, really a lot of the rules, I think, of pancrase were just like no elbows and kicks to the head of a seated opponent or anything. It was a lot of stuff just not to the head. Mm. I don't think you could close your fist either. I think it had to be palms, thrusts, and strikes. But yeah, it was fun. Like I've trained kickboxing, recently, a few months back, I got to train with Josh Barnett in his gym.
Nice.
I have an interest in that stuff. It's just kind of like having to refresh it and hop back into it, seriously again, to kind of refresh it. I wrestled in high school, so I like a lot of that stuff.
Oh, cool. Sure. Barnett's a good homie of mine. And,
he's a great dude.
Rumor has it there is works for a new blood sport in Los Angeles.
That'd be sick. That's I love the no ropes. I think it's super cool.
All right. And then finally, the last story I have, I mentioned it last week, and it's just gotten crazier, the whole Malachi Black thing. He had to actually go on Instagram Live to clear the air because the rumor mill has been getting crazy. And he received death threats about this whole leaving AEW thing.
I only sent one.
But yeah, I mean, guys, settle the fuck down. It's wrestling. Don't send death threats to people. What is wrong with you?
I mean, that's insane. Like I'm a wrestling fan to a pretty high degree. I don't think if you left to go to WWE, I would send you.
How dare you,
son of a bitch, Avalon?
I hope you pass away forever.
Take this ass boy shirt and
cram it.
It's so silly, man. It's who cares where he's going? I was concerned about his health and his life and his well-being. That's all I cared about. And if he needs to take time for that, great. But if you're sending death threats, what the fuck, man?
That does not help his mental.
What are you doing?
Yeah, anything. I mean, yeah, right. You fans of his. Not really going to get him going again. And if you want him to stay in AEW, which I do, but you know, I get it if he doesn't, it's not going to help him want to stay there if you're like...
Fuck you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just let the guy...
Relax.
Do what he has to do. And
to clarify, I know I said that I had read a report that he was released. He's not released. He's just on a break. So I wanted to clarify that. He said he will be back in AEW. So he said it on his IG Live. He will be back. Just give him some time to fucking chill out. So yeah, good for him, but also fuck you guys that are sending death threats. Stop it. That's no good. So
Eddie coming in hot. I've never seen Eddie this worked up before.
Dude, it's upsetting. It's something that I don't take lightly. I've had death threats before, and I just don't
that
take
I
it lightly.
Believe.
I don't take it lightly.
I wanted to kill you the first couple times we did this show.
Yeah,
Eddie,
yeah.
What did you get me fucking roped in, dude?
All right. Well, topic of the week, tag teams. So, first one I have here is top three tag teams of all time. For each of us. So I'll start with the Rockers. Because I was a young rocker boy. I was a shun in my Latino neighborhood. My Cubanazos hated the fact that I was a rocker kid. So the Rockers, Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty was like my first, and like I felt connected to something. I felt represented. So that's my number one.
I mean, I'm an 80s man. Because I'm the oldest guy in the room. So these aren't like, are they one-off tag teams? Or
No. I want like tag, like legitimate tag teams.
Because I'm going to go against the rules. One of my favorite tag teams was Nikita Koloff and Dusty Rhodes when Nikita Koloff turned good guy. That was one of the biggest pops I've ever seen to this day when he turned face. So I'm going to go with, although they were a short-lived tag team, Nikita Koloff and Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Edge and Christian.
Nice.
I loved Edge and Christian because I think they kind of tweaked, I guess, the version of what a tag team, like when I started watching wrestling, it's like I kind of know what a tag team is. It's two of the same guy kind of sometimes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Edge and Christian was more of a dynamic duo. It wasn't a tag team. It was Edge and Christian. It was two separate dudes, but it made sense for them to tag, and they were always a tag. And it especially made sense once they split away from the Brood. It was just, you know what I mean? They were Edge and Christian. They were just two vampires with the Brood. But then when they when they split away and they started showing a lot of personality and the 5-second poses and this, it's like Christian always had the fucking goofy-ass glasses on, and like Edge was always leading the pack and sliding in the ring and doing something. And just Christian's goofy in the back, his goofy ass. And just I really liked Edge and Christian because of their dynamic duo aspect as opposed to being a traditional tag team. They could still go and hang and bang single stuff, but them together is what I wanted to see all the time. And they were a real tag team at the same time. It wasn't just two dudes thrown together. Even though their name was a two-dude thrown together name, they never had an actual name except when
they never had a name.
It was always Edge and Christian, and then he tried to be Christian and Edge, which was weird. Don't do that to me.
But well, alphabetically.
Yeah. No, but Edge and Christian for me.
Number two for me, I am compelled to mention some newer names like Acclaimed. I think they're great and all that, but I'm going to go back old school and say the Steiner Brothers really got me into actual wrestling because I was, I went to college, in high school I did wrestling and that, old school Greco-Roman style, and just to see the fucking earmuffs and the I don't know, it just the moves that they were doing in the ring. So the Steiner Brothers is my number two.
Well, I'm going to go with Billy and Chuck.
Man,
I'm just kidding.
No, I love Billy and Chuck.
I really was roped in until Bischoff started taking off the mask. I was like, oh, my God. I'm going to go with, once again, being an 80s man, the Road Warriors.
They set
the definition of power tag team wrestling. And you still talk about them to this day, which I think is the benchmark for any, greatest tag team, greatest champion, greatest female is 20, 30 years later, are you still talking about them? And I think the Road Warriors, for me, were iconic.
Yeah, they're up there for me, too. They're not on my top three, but definitely Legion of Doom / Road Warriors up there for sure. How about you? Number two.
The Young Bucks.
Yeah.
The Young 100%. Bucks. Yeah, baby. Matt and Nick, of course the Young Bucks, man. That's not just me being a company guy.
Yeah.
Like, they are genuinely the fucking greatest tag team, man. They could do it all. They've hang and bang with like everyone's favorites. Like what's like the Dudleys, the Hardys. Edge and Christians are the only one that the Attitude Era, I don't think they've had the tag against. Motor City Machine Guns. They've had some fucking bangers with FTR.
just, man, the Young Bucks, the Young Bucks. They got good, they could do it all. Everyone just call it, like, a lot of dudes would call them just spot monkeys, and it's like, no, man, no, no, no.
Yeah.
There's so much more than that. So, yeah, so like, they could do spectacular, amazing stuff, but they are amazing wrestlers. Their in-between stuff in between all the high flying fanciness is so good. Their character work is fun, and you can like it as a wrestling, longtime wrestling fan, or as a beginning wrestling fan. And even though they match, they kind of fit a little bit of the dynamic duo that Edge and Christian do. It's different, but Matt and Nick are two separate personalities, and you can kind of tell the difference between them. Yeah, they're just incredible, incredible tag team. And to see them grow into what they are now is amazing. And the fact that we're both we're all California kids is a
hell yeah
nice little thing.
I will say they got me back into watching tag team.
Incredible team, like incredible.
Probably last 10 years were like the big guys. Yeah. And whatnot. And then I think I saw one of their matches maybe 2 years ago at an AEW pay-per-view. It was like against the Republic of Lucha.
Oh, the Lucha Bros.
Oh, Penta and Phoenix. Amazing, too, yeah.
It was like, wow, this is like, because, you know, none of them are like giant dudes, but it was like this.
They have a giant presence, man.
100%.
Yeah, they leave you standing there just like, what the fuck did I see? And it's different every time. Mm-hmm. The match with the Phoenix and Pentagon is going to be wildly different than the match with FTR. Mm. I loved the FTR match that they had with the Bucks. That was, I can't remember which one of FTR's arm was being worked on. And then I think it was Matt Jackson's foot, where he's now shoeless. And,
oh, yeah.
It was great. Like, one body part each. It was so good. I thought it was so good.
Yeah, all the old schoolers hate on him. You know, the Cornettes of the world hate on him. Ah, but, you know, I am all the way behind the Bucks. I don't have a lot of Funko Pops of wrestlers, but I do have the Bucks. And, you know, they got me in with the Bullet Club stuff back in the day. And ever since, when I got to see them in New Japan, they did that. I watched the... it was the Young Bucks versus the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Ibushi.
It was Ibushi, yeah.
In Pyramid in Long Beach, and when I saw it in person, that's when I was like, "Oh fuck, yeah, never mind." They're not. This was a tough one for me. I love tag team wrestling, so the Bucks are definitely up there. They're not my number one. My number one is the Lucha Brothers.
Oh, are we going backwards? Are we going for 3-2-1?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
The top three. Okay. And then no particular order. But I think, you know, the Lucha Bros have to take my last spot just because I'm a big Lucha guy. I love Lucha Libre, and I've met the guys, and they're the nicest people I've ever met. Very friendly, very accommodating to me. So, yeah, Lucha Brothers will be my last pick. But shout out to the Young Bucks, and obviously shout out to FTR, one of the best tag teams in the world as well. So... but yeah, Lucha Brothers for me. How about you?
Well, I know since you're on this show, the Young Bucks probably will watch this. I'm big fans of yours, but your Superkick didn't do shit to Sting. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. This is a tough one. I want to go with either the Blade Runners.
Ooh.
Sting and Warrior, when they were like not the best wrestlers, to be honest, but like they had a presence.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the Twin Towers. Even though we are in September.
Oh.
I love the big guys. And, you know, Akeem and the Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they were like the humor match of gigantic tag team. Like, they were funny, and, you know, Akeem would do that. So, like.
All right. How about you? Last one.
Damn, it's like
it's hard, right?
Every lane.
Yeah, I know, man. So it's like, I feel like if I should, as a wrestler, I probably should throw in like a classic team to like
Demolition.
To like know that, you know, though I know what I'm talking about, you know, I mean, Rock and Roll Express.
Rock and Roll Express.
You know, the
Soul
you
Choice.
Know, the Heart Foundation.
The Heart Foundation. You know, I could say all that, but it's like I like, it's a tie between like FTR and the Motor City Machine Guns.
Nice.
I love both of them. I think FTR is dope. They are aggressive, and they are, to me, they are just the best of everything. All the teams you said together, they're just like two Arn Andersons. Just beat the fuck out of you. You know what I mean? It's like they're the Fantastics. They're the Killer Bees. Arn and Tully. They're just everybody together, and it's great. Every throwback, and they just do it so fucking well, and everything streams together so well. And then The Motor City Machine Guns were so unique on the other end, where it was mind-blowing shit I had never seen before. Maybe stuff they were pulling out of Japan that they were doing, but like doing it on TNA. I was just like, what in the world? Mm. Wow. This is, it was great. It was great. Yeah. So like,
Yeah. I mean, even up to recently, the FTR and Briscoes match was insane.
Man, the Briscoes are dope too, man.
Briscoes are great.
Yeah, watching them back in the day at Gorilla was dope. I played basketball at the Burbank Armory before a PWG show, and I was just helping out, and it was shirts versus skins, and it was like 4-on-4, 5-on-5, and they put all me and some schlubs, and we were skins. No, we were shirts against the dudes who were skins, and it's all the big, thick dudes. It's in Jay Briscoe's one of them, and it's like, great. And then everybody on my team was afraid to defend him except me, so I'm here just trying to defend him. I was like, fuck you, dudes. I'm this scrawny, like, 18-year-old trying to... All right, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, a special shout-out to the Mega Powers.
I mean, there's so many.
There's
like,
so many good tag teams.
The Von Erichs, if you can count. I mean, I know that they had, like, they would switch out guys. You know, I don't know if there was ever a regular two in the Von Erichs.
I liked a lot of the hodgepodge tag teams, too, because that's what, like, a lot of the WWF that I grew up in. Like,
and
I
Rock mean, and
I,
Suck?
Yeah, I bought the Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit set. That was both of them because I think they were teaming and then competed against each other. I was like, oh yeah. And then I was like, was it Eddie and Ray that were tag champions? I think was it.
I think so.
Yeah, it was like those like thrown together teams. I think was it Tajiri and Rey Mysterio were also a thrown together team. Like I was like,
the
shit.
The craziest thrown together team was Dude Love and Stone Cold. They'd
yeah, that was also. Like, I liked a lot of that fun stuff too. You know,
I gotta beg to differ on the craziest tag team because I always talk about this pay per view because it's so. I think I would hope AEW might bring it back. It was Lethal Lottery.
Ah.
And, you know, you had, 40 wrestlers, 20 tags. The survivors went to the next ring. But Sting and Abdullah the Butcher.
Wow. Yeah, that's a wacky tag.
Wacky.
Well, because they were feuding at the time. But I liked Flair and Sting when Flair turned on Sting. But, they were wrestling against Arn and... Tully and, you know, he thought, oh my God, Flair's helping this young golden boy out, and then he turned on him.
All right, this one's going to be tough too. Best, your favorite tag team match of all time?
Damn, yeah, that's
a tough question.
So many, thousands.
Thousands. I'm going to go ahead and say the TLC between Dudley's, Edge and Christian, and Hardy. I mean, that's a tag team match, right? That has to qualify, and that would be my number one match for tag teams.
You know, this is going to sound like I'm trying to say this just because Mr. Avalon is here, but I got to be honest with you. It got me into watching tag team again, the Young Bucks against Phoenix and...
the Lucha Brothers.
It's a really good honest match. Background noise. I think I was writing jokes or something, and I said, I'll just have it on. And I stopped what I was doing and rewound it. And, like, it was amazing. Like, it wasn't just a spot fest either. There was good storytelling, which, you know, it's hard to do when you're doing a spot fest. You know, just get to the high spots. And I got to be honest, I'm an AEW mark, but that is my pick.
I'm going to be.
The Terry Runnels Invitational Triple Threat Ladder Match. That's the precursor to the TLC's, yeah. Man. And that was the shit. I loved Terry Runnels. I loved all the teams. And, man, that was so fucking dumb.
Hell yeah. All right. And then finally, do you prefer that a tag team have matching gear and a name or, you know, the hodgepodge thing that we were talking about? That was like my, Edge and Christian don't really... I wouldn't count them, but, you know, like the Stone Cold Dude Love thing. Do you prefer that they have matching gear and they have a name and a theme?
Be a team. I think you can have a happy medium. Like, Edge and Christian was that line for me. They never had a name, except when they were the Brood. Mm. But even when Gangrel was gone, I was still kind of was like, oh, the Brood. They were still kind of just, that was the Brood. It was Gangrel, and they were the Brood, but then it was still Edge and Christian. So it was like, they kind of, I want always the Laurel and Hardy dynamic. You can have matching everything like the Young Bucks, but I need you to have your own personalities. I can't have two clones.
Right. Know? Yeah. I agree. I'm a fan of when they are a team. Like, for example, the Street Profits. You know, they're both completely different, but they have kind of matching gear. It's sports related. They've got, you know, basketball and baseball sometimes mixed together. But I like that they have matching gear. Like when I see like the Lotharios, when they first debuted, they were just a hodgepodge, but now they're wearing matching gear and they have a name. So like, I like that. I think I'm a bigger fan of a team when they're together, like the Young Bucks are the Young Bucks. They're a unit. When it's thrown together like that, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
The story has to be there for that to work, and that's what makes that work,
How about you? Do you prefer the...
I actually do. Like, I can't get out of my mind the spikes with the Road Warriors. Like, you know, and the similar makeup, Axe and Smash, Demolition. They weren't the greatest tag team, but, like, you know, I they did look like a unit. So...
Cool. Yeah, that's so that's all I have for today. I think we had a good episode. I want to thank you, Señor Pretty Peter Avalon.
I mean, you really are a good-looking dude.
I know. I get this every day.
If I ever run out of girls, I'll be calling you late now.
I won't run out of
girls. Oh, hello. Never. but anyway, where can people find you on the internet? You know, all your social media, plug away, plug away.
You can find me on the Instagram.com/PPA. All day. I'm on Twitter at /Pavalon, and I have a website, peteravalon.com. That's kind of set up that I don't need to update it, so that's kind of cool.
So, like t-shirts and stuff?
You can, I have a pro wrestling tees, and you can find my stuff at aewshop.com or shopaew.com. Sorry, I forgot the order, but figure it out. Google's a thing.
Yeah, Google's a thing. Yeah. You can find them. You can find me at RRBG Podcast. I just put out a new episode with the drummer of Killswitch Engage.
Sick.
And more musicians are coming. Comedians, athletes, all that good stuff. And then Earl.
At Earl Skakel. And if you like hockey, I just did Sean Avery's podcast, No Gruffs Given. And Sean's a great guy. He would have been a great pro wrestling heel because he enjoys, he's got an MJF quality about him.
He talks shit.
Yeah, he loves talking, talking shit. Like shit. He's out of control. So, and the Comedy Store, if you're ever in LA, DM me on Instagram. I'll take care of you.
Hell yeah. And make sure you follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Store Is War on Twitter, and send us an email, comedystorewrestling@gmail.com, with any suggestions you got. Thanks again for tuning in. Cheers.